time. We take up in Genesis 1 and 2 with the last of our mini-series called Human. I've provided a little sheet to help us follow the sermon. I hope everyone's got one who wants one. Put your hand up if you'd like one. It's there to follow the sermon and to write a few notes if you'd like to. As a memory aid, you'll see that lots of the headings are words beginning with F. And the first one's food. And this issue has been brought up in the home groups and by one or two people after last Sunday's sermon. And in particular, we're looking back at chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, which say, God said, "See, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And the question is this. Is this saying that we and our pets ought to be vegans? Well, let's look at what the text is saying. It's saying that all types of fruit and vegetables are for eating. But it does not say don't eat meat or dairy products, which is what I hear vegans saying. And as we look through the rest of the Bible, things become clearer on this. Just turning forward a few pages to Genesis chapter 9, the beginning, 9 verse 3. This is where, after the big flood and the restart for the human race, God's ordinance to be fruitful and multiply is restated. 9 verse 3, "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And just as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything." So it does say to eat meat as well as fruit and vegetables. And when Jesus addressed the issue of food, let's look at Mark chapter 7. Verse 14, that's in the New Testament. Mark chapter 7, verse 14 and following. Food was a big issue in the Jewish culture that Jesus was mostly in. "Then he called the crowd again and said to them, 'Listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile.' And he goes on, 'When he left the crowd, entered the house, the disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, Do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart but the stomach and goes out into the sewer? Thus he declared all foods clean.'" So Jesus said, types of food is not a spiritual issue. And he declared all types of food okay to eat. So although there may be other good reasons to choose a vegan diet or to eat less meat, the Bible tells us that we are free to choose what we eat. And the instruction to eat all types of fruit and veg is there in Genesis chapter 1. Why? Well, it's because God is expecting a large population increase. That's what he's told the first humans to do. Multiply. Be fruitful. So if there's going to be a large population increase in those early years of humanity, the Lord wants every good source of food to be fully utilized. And that's a helpful message for our times of large population growth as well. F is for food. Lots of the issues in Genesis 1 and 2 are relevant, very relevant in our times. F is for food, F is also for free will and fatal flaw. And these are two very important aspects of being human. And these come in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 4 and following, it is the second creation account, which gives the more focused picture on humans and their place in creation. It starts, these are the generations. I mean that it's talking about the generations of humans. So we learn a bit more about what it is to be human. And we see in verse 15 and following that being human is about having a large amount of freedom. That's God's purpose. Verse 15, Genesis 2. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden. Gave him freedom. It goes on, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Fatal flaw. So as the Lord was looking for fruitfulness and multiplication, he put the first human in the garden and gave him freedom. Freedom to eat of every tree apart from one. Just one tree to avoid. And that one, that tree, is a symbolic way of saying, do not start thinking you're the one that knows what is good and what is evil. God is the one who says what's right and wrong. We're not God. But if we think we know better than God, and we don't like some of what the Bible shows to be right and wrong, then God says there are very serious consequences. It matters. Right and wrong matter. Rejecting God's right and wrong matters a lot. So we as humans have a large amount of freedom, and we have free will, and we have a clear warning from God concerning our fatal flaw. If we reject the Lord's right and wrong, we will die and forfeit our future with God around the tree of life. Now, you know, if we do wrong, there is a way back. If we confess our sin, acknowledge our wrong, start afresh, Jesus gives us the way back. But if we decide that the sin is not a sin because we think we know better than God and his word, what way back is there? We have free will and a fatal flaw. The next F is for friendship. Verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner. So part of being human is being sociable. Now, I know some of us are more sociable than others, but all of us need friendship. And it's true that loneliness is one of the hardest things. And there's a lot of it about. God knew the first human needed a bit of company, someone to help. We all need help. And this someone would not be one of the other animals. It needed to be someone the same, but different. It needed to be someone who was a big help in God's plan for fruitfulness and multiplication. So the account continues in verse 21, I'll pick up. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. And the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. So in this account, the animals are made of dust, but woman is made of the same stuff as man. Man and woman, female and male, equal but different. Not clones. Male and female are different. Different strengths, different weaknesses, different enthusiasms, different abilities, different roles, and particularly different roles when it comes to the business of fruitfulness and multiplication. Now, there are several further applications of this passage, including the way in which Jesus applied it. So let's look at those and develop what it says. And the first is to say that the Lord has made us for friendship. We are made in the image of God so that we can have fellowship with God. Now, let's not get this wrong. God doesn't need friends. He is self-sufficient. Self-sufficient in social relationship within himself, within the triune Godhead. God isn't lonely. So he didn't make humans in order to satisfy his loneliness. He doesn't need friends, but he chooses. He chooses to reach out to us for friendship. Not a Christmas cards level of friendship. God is looking for a close fellowship with trust and intimacy between him and us. At the same time, it's not an equal relationship. God is God, I'm human. We can't be equal. God loved me before I ever loved him. God says what is right and what is wrong. I obey if I love him. It's not equal, but it is a personal relationship with each of us that God is seeking. He made us in his image, every one of us, so that being a lot like God, we can know God personally. It's the most important relationship we can have. The Lord has made us for friendship. And the second of the three things to draw out as we come towards an end is that God's also made us for friendship with other people. Now, I like the company of my cat, but animals aren't the same as humans. Dogs and cats can be good company, and I guess they have the advantage of not answering back. But need to look beyond that if we're looking for friendship. They are not helpers like fellow humans. Animals help in many ways, including being a help in our loneliness, but Genesis reminds us that it's not good for us to be alone and that human companionship is a great help. A human who is equal but different, a human who appreciates us through choice rather than a pet who is trained to our ways. We do better with human helpers. It's true at home. It's true at work. Men need the help of women. Women need the help of men. It's part of being human. In church, we recognize this. We seek to provide fellowship and encourage one another in human friendship. All sorts of groups, from the Living Well Dementia Support Group to the Wine Society, home groups for study, prayer and fellowship, men's events, women's events, mixed events. The Lord has made us for friendship with other people. And then finally, the Lord has made us to be fruitful. That's his plan. Be fruitful and multiply. The plan is quite clear and rather focused. And Jesus is the one who shows us this clearly. Fruitfulness and multiplication is about a man and a woman leaving parents, coming together as a new household, and this is the right place for sex. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now, Jesus quotes this verse in Mark 10, our second reading this morning. And Jesus makes it clear that this verse is about marriage. In the same way, he quoted Genesis 1, verse 27, that we looked at last week, as he answered a question about what divorce is about, and said instead for his listeners what marriage is about. Mark chapter 10, verse 6 and following. Jesus said, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh." And then he added, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." So marriage is about a male and a female setting up a new household, having sexual intercourse and intimacy, having been joined together for life by God in a sort of covenant, sticks. And that's Jesus' teaching. And it explains why Christians stand for traditional marriage, and sex being for within marriage, and marriage being a covenant for life. Comes from Jesus, as well as from Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Now, like with lots of Jesus' teaching, lots of Jesus' followers take a while to come to terms with the big challenges of Jesus' teaching. He is a challenging teacher. He challenged in many ways. And it's part of following Jesus to work it through and come to terms with it. And if we love him, we'll obey his commandments. It's part of humans being fruitful. And maybe you're a person who's quick to dismiss this teaching as old-fashioned and out of date. That was the position of the people Jesus was talking to in Mark chapter 10. They were sophisticated religious leaders. And I guess it would have been easy for Jesus to go along with them and the times that he lived in. But he insisted on making a stand and quoting Genesis 1 and 2. And he quoted them because Jesus knew that they were God's authoritative word on marriage, even though he lived all those centuries later. Jesus didn't think Genesis was old hat, or out of date, or not relevant because the account seems rather strange. For Jesus, it was the word of God, for humans, for always. Jesus knew others had decided to ignore aspects of the teaching for their own convenience, but he was not going along with that. When he knew the purposes of God for fruitfulness were so clear. Following Jesus, such a big inspiration, such a valuable help to us as we seek to navigate the big issues of what it is to be truly human, made in God's image. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you made us, and you made us in your image for relationship. And thank you for all your good purposes. Thank you for your teaching, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love and your call, and help us. Help us to follow. Amen.